Today seems to be the Saturday of the two brothers. In the first reading from Genesis, we have Jacob and Esau, the sons of Israel. And indeed, we see that their mother, Rebekah, is very particular to one of them, the younger one. Now, the story is that when there are twins, and when they were born, as Esau was coming out, Jacob grabbed on to his ankle, and they both came out together. So the thing is, who indeed was the firstborn? And that was always a contention. So Rebekah may have been seemingly cheating, but she wasn't really, because they were born simultaneously. And of course, Esau makes a reference to this. You know, at birth you overtook me, now you do it again. But she contrived with her son Jacob, and Jacob was smooth skinned. Esau was very hairy, and he was out in the fields with the cattle, so he smelled like a cow or a pig or whatever. You know very well that what that is. And so she set everything up. The father was blind, and so he was not able to see. He only could hear and feel. Now he heard Jacob's voice, but when he embraced him and he kissed him, he felt that she had put goat skin on his arms and around his neck, and it was fur. So he thought that he was Esau, who was very furry. But he couldn't understand why he smelled, he did not exactly smell like Esau, yet the goat skin did smell like Esau a little bit. So, and this is what is interesting. You know, here you get blessings a million, and there's no running out of blessings until either God or I stop it. And, you know, of course, I will stop when I finally die, but God will never die. And his blessings are continuous and everlasting. But in the Old Testament, in this particular time especially, there was one blessing that was reserved for the oldest son that was to cover everything, him and his children and his descendants. And it was to leave out the other siblings. And so Rebekah wanted to make sure that Jacob got it. He was her favorite. And so she did everything and set up everything. And in fact, the father did indeed bless him. So when Esau comes and he brings the goat or whatever it is that the father had asked for him to catch and cook, he could not understand. He had just eaten. So what is this? And then he realizes he has been duped. But that's okay. The blessing has been given. He cannot give another blessing. That's it. There's one, only one. And so Jacob got Esau's blessing, and Esau realized that he had been duped again. Now, of course, you think, well, if this were to stand in a court of law today, Esau would win. But that's not the way it was, because there was one blessing, and he could not give more than one blessing. And so there it was that Jacob was to be the one that would carry forth, and of course all of Israel were to be descended from him, including our Lord, Saint Joseph too. And so today we look at their ancestry, and we see, on the one hand, that there are blessings to be given and to be received. On the other hand, that there are imperfections in the ancestry, and so it was only one that would make it right, and that is the Son of God become man. He is the only one without sin. He is God become man. And so even though Saint Joseph, according to many fathers, was born immaculate, he was conceived in sin. Even though the Blessed Mother was the Immaculate Conception, nevertheless, she was not God. And so only our Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless, eternal Son of God. In the gospel, likewise, we have the two sons. The older son, who is very careful to follow every prescription that his father has laid down, and the younger son, who asks for his inheritance and then disappears. And we know this tale too often, even in our own lives. And he dissipates his inheritance with harlots and drinking and carrying on. And then he is starving and comes back. And the father receives him, the prodigal son. The father receives him and embraces him and kisses him on the neck, as it was the custom in those ages. And then the other son comes. He has a banquet for his son because he was thought dead and he is alive. He was lost and he is found. And the other son comes back and he's furious. I have obeyed everything you said and you never did anything for me. And of course that wasn't true either. So you see, sin pervades everything, even those who think they are perfect. And so the father says, my son, everything I have is yours. And that puts an end to that. But your son, your brother, was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. Come and rejoice with me. And of course, it doesn't actually say that he did, but he probably did. And if he didn't, he was stupid, because he should have enjoyed the free meal, as it were. But we'll see. And of course, for us, there is no free meal. For us, there is the discipline of Lent and the discipline of life. The much suffering that we have to undergo in this life, which is unceasing. And the more you love God, the more suffering you will have to undergo. I can guarantee that to you. And so, on this day, we give thanks to God for his divine providence. And I ask for your prayers on my behalf. Today is the anniversary of my first Holy Communion, which I remember very, very in detail. A Cardinal Archbishop of Havana, who was later on martyred for the faith, gave me my first communion. And I was only about a little less than 5 years old. The communists had already taken over, and it was necessary to get things done. And so they did. And so I had a wonderful first communion. And I remember, and you've heard this before, those who have been here, I remember my cousin, they had a party for me. And my cousin asked me, well, was it different? Because we practiced. The brothers taught us how to receive communion properly. And we do this here too before First Holy Communion. But we practice even longer. I guess we were more stupid than the children today. And so I remember telling my cousin, well, it was different. It tasted different from that time. And indeed, it did, and it still does. And of course, recently, of course, with the attacks of the hexes and the devils that have been tormenting my life, for a time there, something horrendous happened in my life, that when I received communion, I was gagging. I was going to throw up because it tasted horrible. It was not what I usually had all these years. And then all of a sudden, I prayed to Our Lady and to Our Lord to please take this cross away. And the next time I received, the host tasted normal, like it always did. But the consecrated wine, the precious blood, tasted like the best honey that you have ever had. From a horrible, horrible taste that made me want to throw up right on the altar to the most wonderful taste of honey. Miracles still happen. And of course, the great miracle, which I celebrate today with great joy and happiness, is that our Lord Jesus Christ has miraculously transformed, with a miracle of transubstantiation, bread and wine into his body and blood, soul and divinity. That is the center of our faith. And so the Eucharist is the most important of all our tenets. If we believe that Jesus Christ is truly God, then we need to believe that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.